Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So that's it. Engage in fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly, and you are a bad person. There you go. There is your master list of transgressions. Just avoid these, and everything will be good, right? Would it be nice if life were really that simple? Don't do bad things. It is so tempting to get up on our high horse, look at these words of Christ and say, yeah! You tell them, Jesus. You, those dirty sinners, doing all that sinning. They're such sinful people. You tell them. I'm not like that. What is the setting for today's gospel? Who is Jesus speaking to?
Pharisees.
Speaking to the Pharisees. To the temple elders. It is too easy. It is too convenient. And it is too tempting. And it is too common. To hear the word Pharisee and immediately think, Pharisees. Those are Jesus' enemies. Those are the bad guys. It's all quite black and white. It's like the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there are two of them. They're hypocrites. They're bad people. The Pharisees were the religious good guys of their time. They were the protectors of temple tradition. They were respected community leaders. If you were to ask them to describe themselves, they would not say, we are the ones who hate Jesus. They would say, we are the ones who love God. We are the ones who love the law of God, the commandments, the tradition. But Jesus has found a serious hole in how they show that love. They are failing to see the forest for the trees. They're missing the big picture. Like any religious group, they have traditions, they have rites and such rituals that they follow. The problem is, like most any religious group, they're confusing those traditions with the higher power that those traditions are meant to point towards. Oops. That's inconvenient. It's really common. I want to get back to this list that Jesus provided. Evil intentions come from within, he says. The word that is translated intentions in Greek literally means the thinking of a person, the thinking of a man or a woman, deliberating with themselves. You understand what I mean? The thinking of someone as they deliberate with themselves, as a man deliberates with himself, as a woman deliberates with herself, tries to mull over what they're going to do. Well, that's part of the problem right there, isn't it? Deliberate with oneself. Some of you who were here at Easter may recall me talking about the importance of the church, the role of the church, and that one of the most important roles of the church is not to be a place of comfort, but a place where it is safe to be uncomfortable. A place where it is safe to be stretched and challenged. This is impossible when we deliberate with ourselves.
least it's very hard.
I can challenge myself a little bit. I assure you, my wife challenges me much better. I don't think she heard that, so I can say that.
It is impossible to deliberate with ourselves, or at least quite hard, when we refuse to engage with or experience views different than our own. In other words, when we refuse relationship with those who are different. As much as our culture, as much as our politics, as much as our media encourages us to stratify, to fracture, to segment, to say, you and I do not agree on this, ergo, we cannot be in communion with one another. It's not okay. That doesn't lead to growth. It's not healthy. And frankly, the more I read about and look at the actions and words of Christ, I see a man who tried very hard and very deliberately to seek out those with whom he was not in agreement. Well, look at that list of sins again. Can we get back to the sin list? Is that possible? Oh, there we go. It's a little bright up there, but maybe you can read it. This is not a defining list. You look in the other Gospels, you look in the letters of Paul, you will find all sorts of lists that are similar. They're not identical. And there's a good reason for this. Whenever you create a list, you inevitably will leave something off. Any of you who have ever gone grocery shopping are aware of this. Think about, you ever watch an award show? I know it's an odd comparison. The Academy Awards, maybe, the Oscars, Emmys, anything like that. When someone gives their speech of thanks, inevitably they are scrambling at the end to think of all the people they've left off the list. I want to thank my mom and my dad and my spouse, my kids, my grand, oh, my agent, I want to thank the producer, I want to thank God, all the people who did this and that. You always leave something off the list. Don't look at the list in and of itself in a capsule. Don't look at it alone. Look at the message behind the list. We break this down and look at this from Greek. In order, we have first a reference to illicit sexual intercourse, which in the Old Testament is oftentimes a metaphor for idolatry. It's interesting that it starts off that way. A breaking of relationship with God. We have theft, we have murder, we have adultery. We have a reference to coveting or desiring what someone else has. We have a reference to malice, that is a wickedness with the intention to act upon it. We have deceit. We have a reference to taking things in excess from the community. We have a reference to giving someone the evil eye, that is to curse or wish them ill. A reference to causing others pain, a reference to slander, and arrogance to look down on someone else, and a reference to being reckless or thoughtless in our relationship with others. All of these things involve a corruption of relationship. None of them are self-contained. None of them are simply things that we do to ourselves. These are all things that impede relationship. Even the concept of evil intentions, again, deliberating with oneself, is a corruption of relationship. Broken relationships. These are the links between these things. Think about the Old Testament. Think about all of the times in the Old Testament we see the covenant between God and Israel being broken. Think about Paul's lists. All of the little sins that he likes to talk about. And more often than not, you see this common thread, this common theme running throughout it. Broken relationship. Throughout Scripture, we see this constant story of the struggle to bridge gaps. The breaks in relationship between God and people, and between people and people. There's kind of an odd reference in today's Gospel to mothers and fathers. Did anybody notice that? These
These things that you fail to do for your mothers and fathers. One or two of you caught it, so for those two I will explain. It was a reference to this policy, tradition that was practiced, where if someone tithed something to the temple, then they didn't have to give it to their parents. They could kind of get out of their commitment, their responsibility to care for their parents as they got older. And Jesus points out to the Pharisees that with this policy, you are breaking relationship. You are breaking your relationship with God. You are breaking your relationship with your parents. You're breaking community. You're doing it in the name of following the law of the temple. You're confusing the trees in the forest. I think I did that right. You're missing the big picture. You're missing at the heart of what all this is about. And James has said that religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And again, this is not a master list. James was not saying, care for orphans and widows, be unstained by the world, and that's it. That's all you got to do. Look again at the heart of it. Look at the message behind it. How does the world stain? I will posit to you this. The world tells you each and every day to put yourself first. It tells you each and every day to be tribal, to see others as a threat, to see others as less than those who are like you, those who are part of your group, your tribe. The world encourages us to treat others as a means to an end, and not an end in and of themselves. Because we're using the Holden setting today, we didn't read the psalm, because we sang a different psalm. But Psalm 15 was the psalm that went with the readings today. It talks about broken relationship. It talks about broken relationship economically. Oh, that's a bad topic to bring up in church. It talks about how we use our money. It talks about how people are treated when they are loaned money. It talks about interest rates. The psalm talks about interest rates. How's that for interesting? But it isn't doing it to be a financial roster. It's doing it because it's talking about relationships. It's talking about how people treat one another, how they interact. Again, unhealthy, broken relationships. How we care for the vulnerable, the outcast, people who aren't so much on the center, but on the periphery, on the margin. There's that great expression, you may have even heard it before, how do you treat those who can do nothing for you? You know what I mean? The people in this world who hold no power over you, they do not control your paycheck, they do not control your utilities, they have no impact on your daily life. They are, in a sense, the way we would be taught to treat them, disposable. At least from our perspective. How do you treat them? How are those relationships? That is what Christ talks about. To truly follow Jesus, don't look for a shopping list. Don't look for a shopping list of do's and don'ts. Don't sell him short like that. He's way better than a shopping list. To truly follow Jesus Christ, look at how you handle relationships, including and especially those who you don't think you need a relationship with. Because I promise you, if there's any ounce of truth to this book that we call Scripture, that we call the Bible, and I think there is, I promise you, it is in those moments how we interact and care for those who we don't have to have relationship with, that you will truly find the ministry of Christ in this world. Amen.